ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Verse 31. Todanam suprasutar lochanam Todanam suprasutar lochanam Vyalam vinilal karvinda samvritam Vyalam vinilal karvinda samvritam यद्वृद्धयानाभिमुखं शुचिस्मिते त्वदाननं सुप्रसुतारलोचनम् व्यालंबे निलाल कारिंद संवृतम् उनीयमे दर्शय वल्गुवाचकम् यद्वृद्धयानाभिमुखं शुचिस्मिते
वर्ड मीनिंग त्वर योर आननम फेस सुग्रुप Having nice eyebrows. Sutara with nice pupils. Lochanam eyes. Vyalambi scattered. Neel bluish. Alakavrinda by locks of hair. Samvritam surrounded. Unniya having raised. Me unto me. Darshaya, show. Valguvachakam, having words very sweet to hear. Yat, which face? Vridaya, by shyness. Na, not. Abhimukham, face to face. Suchismite, O woman with lovely smiles. Translation. My dear girl, your face is so beautiful with your nice eyebrows and eyes and with your bluish hair scattered about. In addition, very sweet sounds are coming from your mouth. Nonetheless, you are so covered with shyness that you do not see me face to face. I therefore request you, my dear girl, to smile and kindly raise your head to see me. Purport. Such a speech is typical of a living entity attracted by the opposite sex. This is called bewilderment occasioned by becoming conditioned by material nature. When thus attracted by the beauty of the material energy, one becomes very eager to enjoy. This is elaborately described in this instance of Puranjan's becoming attracted by the beautiful woman. In conditioned life, the living entity is attracted by a face, eyebrows or eyes, or a voice, or anything. In short, everything becomes attractive. When a man or a woman is attracted by opposite sex, it does not matter whether the opposite sex is beautiful or not. The lover sees everything beautiful in the face of the beloved and thus becomes attracted. This attraction causes the living entity to fall down in this material world. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 7:27. इच्छा द्वेष समुत्थेन द्वंद्व मोहेन भारत सर्वभूतानि सम्मोहं सर्गयन्ति परन्तप ओ शायन ऑफ भरत अर्जुन ओ कॉन्करर ऑफ द फो ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज आर बॉर्न इन टू डिल्यूजन ओवरकम बाय ड्युअलिटीज ऑफ डिजायर एंड हेट दिस कंडीशन ऑफ लाइफ इज कॉल्ड अविद्या अपोज्ड टू दिस अविद्या इज रियल नॉलेज श्री ईशोपनिषद डिस्टिंग्विशेस बिटवीन विद्या एंड अविद्या Knowledge and ignorance. By avidya, ignorance, one becomes conditioned, and by vidya, knowledge, one becomes liberated. Puranjan admits herein that he is attracted by Avidya. Now he wishes to see the complete feature of Avidya and so requests the girl to raise her head so that he can see her face to face. He thus wishes to see the various features that make Avidya attractive. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Manchakalpatrubhyasya Kripasindhubhyasya Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shrivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namaste Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachalini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Deshatarini. So continuing with Narad Muni's instructions to King Prachina Bhari, sir, describing in the story of Puranjan. This is very interesting verse in Prabhupada's purport on this verse explains things more clearly about the condition of the condition of a conditioned soul. So while I was preparing I was thinking of this topic. I'm not qualified to speak on because this topic does talk about sense control and going beyond it. But for my own purification, I would like to seek your blessings to speak on this topic, even though not in right capacity to speak on such a subject matter. But as service to Bhagavatam, I'll try to do something. So today we'll discuss some Prabhupada's very interesting purports, which he has given in different places. Explaining the same subject matter. So, so if you see the verse, the story is we all have heard many summaries in many different classes. So I'll not go back into the summary. Most of you are attending regularly. So, but here particularly where we are at this verse, now King Puranjan, who Narad Muni is telling the story about, he is getting very eager now. He's on the stage of being desperate to now just see the girl face to face. And then if we see within the verse, then it talks about a situation. Most of the things do match with the society now, but one thing is changing very rapidly now, where when he's trying to convince the girl to look towards him and see him, he's saying that you are covered with shyness, that you do not see me face to face. So this part of being shy that is missing now, that's not there anymore in society. It's rapidly going down. Hardly we see girls display this quality of being shy when approached. The way Kali Yuga is progressing, I think it's turning the other way now. Boys become really shy. So it's a very graphic explanation how a conditioned being acts when he is hankering to enjoy a sense object. Only the strategy changes. You know, it's like the way Narad Muni is explaining Puranjan's approach or his attitude towards convincing this beautiful woman to satisfy his sense, his desires is in itself a lesson to what to do and what not to do and how to act, how not to act. Because here he's trying to speak in a way which is which is in today's terms that we just call, is practically trying to seduce her in his own style. You know, he's glorifying her beauty, he's glorifying her different attributes, he's glorifying how she is looking. So the whole idea, the concept of his glorification to that woman is to somehow or other get her to enjoy him, to enjoy his senses. So hardly we see that in material world people would enjoy, men would glorify women or women would glorify men, where the concept or the idea is not to have sense enjoyment from them. Basically, whenever there is a glorification done, materially I'm speaking, materially a man glorifies a woman or a woman glorifies man, it's just to get their senses enjoyed from that particular person. Or if you speak very directly, basically to exploit them, they will be glorified. So man glorifies woman to exploit her, woman glorifies man or her, they both glorify each other's quality to find somehow or other an opportunity to exploit her. And once that exploitation is over and one is not more any more interested in that exploitation, that same glorification turns into practically finding faults. So one gets against that same person, that same beautiful smiling face, which was so attractive that one could not sleep in the night. Now also one cannot sleep, but out of anger for that same not so attractive face now. Why? Because the whole concept of glorification, the whole concept of seeking, or the whole concept of trying to attract the opposite sex is just to get something out of it. Just to find some facility to enjoy, to exploit, one can go to any limits. You know, if you have seen, I don't know whether you see in here or not, but in India we see outside meat shops, and the dogs are moving around. They're just waiting for the master to throw a leftover piece of meat or a bone, which they can lick and satisfy themselves. And just hankering and moving around and acting in such a way, and that's their strategy to enjoy it. So this was Narada Muni saying, this is Puranjan's strategy to enjoy it. And this is very commonly used, how a man flatters a woman to get something out of her. So we see there are certain examples where we see even Srila Prabhupada was glorifying the beauty of a woman, but the result or the consciousness or the effect was completely opposite. It was not to exploit, it was basically to serve. Now there is a pastime where one Mataji comes to a temple, this kirtan is happening, and she is wearing short dress and she is dancing in the kirtan, and men are getting disturbed and they are getting upset and they are acting rude towards her. They are not very friendly towards her. And then later Srila Prabhupada speaks to that same girl and he says, oh, you are so beautiful, and then he gives some Krishna conscious advice to her. And next day that same woman comes dressed in sari and for the kirtan. Another place, I think that happened in Paris, where Prabhupada was glorifying, oh, you are all beautiful, but your Ishwar, your Supreme Lord is Krishna. So, this is Paris Ishwar. So, you belong, you are there to serve the Supreme Lord, basically. So, the whole idea of being as devotees, when there is something nicely done, you know, even if some nice service is done by someone, we glorify. If there is something nice about something, we glorify. We don't have to glorify on the face, or at least. But the consciousness is either to serve or to exploit. There is no third option. So, it's an important point from this. But here, Puranjan is very focused on his point. Narada Muni is very focused on explaining this point, that the approach of Puranjan when he is trying to contact that woman and flatter her with her different attributes she's telling about her beauty and her eyes is just purely to get his sense enjoyment fulfilled. So you know, in the purport we see Prabhupada begins with a very amazing description. He says such a speech is typical of a living entity attracted by opposite sex. Such a speech is typical. This is called bewilderment occasioned by becoming conditioned by material nature. That means this is called bewilderment caused by becoming conditioned. So under the grip of material nature, a living entity is forced to act like this. When thus attracted by the beauty of material energy, one becomes very eager to enjoy. So when that eagerness, that desperation is there, one can go to any extent. You know, if there is no fear of law, then one goes to the criminal side of it, where you forcefully try to exploit. But the consciousness is very same. It's very, very similar. You know, in 5th canto, 14th chapter, verse 28, in that purport, Srila Prabhupada makes a very nice point. He quotes a Bengali poet. So he says that that Bengali poet Bankim Chandra says that to the eyes of the lover, the beloved is always very beautiful, even though ugly. This attraction is called Deva Maya. The attraction between man and woman is the cause of bondage for both. Actually, both belong to para prakriti. Man and woman, both on spiritual level, they both are souls. So they are part and parcel of the Lord. They are same, para prakriti, the superior energy of the Lord. But both are actually prakriti, female. You know, the poet he is quoting is saying that to the eyes of the lover, the beloved is very beautiful, even though ugly. I don't know whose context that beloved is ugly from, but because for the lover she is, or he is, very beautiful. You know, for us also we can relate to it, that if someone from another part of the world, we may not find at all attractive, and we may have no inclination or desire to even have something to do with that particular person. But there are people who are fighting to get her attention or his attention. Now there are people, because they are attracted to that particular object. For us, he or she may not be attractive, but there are people who are doing all using all their strategies to somehow or other gain attention of that particular person. You know, it's like if someone says, you know, we as humans enjoying with she cockroach or he cockroach, it's unthinkable. But in that species we have done it, because the way material energy is designed in such a way that the covering, the condition of the living entity, the conditioning which happens to the soul, forces the soul to enjoy a certain type of body. And even in current state, if we see, you know, that's the concept of sanskara or impressions. When certain impressions are forced upon us again and again, we develop attraction for particular person or commodity or object. You know, we may not have any desire at this stage, but a constant association with certain object helps us develop attachment. You know, it's exactly like in Bhagavad Gita, 2nd chapter, Krishna says in verse 62, Dhyayato Vishayam Pumsa, Sangastesu Pajayate. When there is too much contemplation on the object of senses, one develops attachment for the object. Even though one may not have attachment at this stage, but in due course one can develop attachment for that particular object. So, more we continue to associate and meditate on that particular form, we will be forced by the arrangements of material nature to develop attachment for that particular form. Now, in 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, verse number 7, Prabhupada gives a very nice purport to that verse. I'll read the verse. It says, Rajo ragatmakam vidhi Krishna sanga samudhavam tan nibadhanti kaunteya karma sangena dehinam. He is giving the main reason, the core crux, of of one acting in such a way. Yesterday, Mr. Suresh Prabhu explained many different reasons where lust is situated and how it's acting on us. So we'll continue from there how in mode of passion this operates. And the purport is just too good. Srila Prabhupada explains it amazingly. So the translation is, the mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and longings. O son of Kunti, and because of this, the embodied living entity is bound to material fruitive actions. So the purport is, Prabhupada says, the mode of passion is characterized by the attraction between man and woman. Woman has attraction for man, and man has attraction for woman. This is called mode of passion. And when the mode of passion is increased, one develops the hankering for material enjoyment. He wants to enjoy sense gratification, and for sense gratification, a man in mode of passion wants some honor in society or in the nation. He wants to have a happy family with nice children, wife and house. These are the products of mode of passion. As long as one is hankering after these things, he has to work very hard. Therefore, it is clearly stated that he becomes associated with the fruits of his activities and thus becomes bound by such activities. Modern civilization is considered to be advanced in standard of mode of passion. This is current situation. But formerly, the advanced condition was considered to be in mode of goodness. Then Robert makes a final punchline. He says, if there is no liberation for those in mode of goodness, what to speak of those who are entangled in mode of passion? So, where is the chance to get out of this mess in mode of passion? So, we see Srila Prabhupada quoting another verse in the purport from 7th chapter, Ichha Dvesha Samuttena, where he is saying that being overcome by the dualities of desire and hate, living entities are born into delusion. So very intense desire of the dualities, which is desire and hate, which goes side by side. A living entity is born into delusion. That intense desire. You know, from Mahabharata, Vidur gives, Vidura, in Vidur Niti he gives, he explains nicely. He says that this desire is, this intense desire in living entity causes many other problems. And one of the causes, he says that, you know, sleeplessness, he says, we see a common problem is caused due to desire. He gives few reasons. He says causes of sleeplessness are, sleeplessness overpowers one who has been attacked by a stronger man, or one who has failed to attain their goals, or those who have been robbed, or those who are consumed by desires and thieves, Vidura says. So, we see society, we see, whether we are talking about, mostly it's in materialistic society, but if we see in devotional society also, in the purport, Prabhupada is further taking it to Vidya and Avidya level, right towards the last paragraph of the purport, where he's talking about how Puranjan is adamant and trying all means to see and convince the woman to satisfy him. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying that he is adamant for himself to see Avidya. And it's exactly like, from purport it appears that Puranjan knows that he is going to be trapped, but he is adamant, he is fixed on it. He really wants to see how Avidya looks like, how the experience is all about. You know, we in devotional communities we say, you know, attraction between man and woman is like Cupid hitting the arrows. You know, even in there is a Bollywood song also which says that, you know, shooting bullets with your eyes, the girl is shooting bullets with her eyes. But if you see honestly, a materialist, for a conditioned soul, for someone who doesn't have even access to this knowledge, even though knowing that this is cause of destruction, you know, the words used are, you're hitting bullets with your eyes, you know, in glorification of woman he's saying, and then he knows that this is the trap, And he happily wants to get into the trap, like Puranjan is very happy to see the face of Avidya. But due to lack of knowledge, due to no access to a superior understanding, one is very happy about it. One is very happy, very very happy about it, and he doesn't even think that this is suffering. You know, you speak to people and you speak about this concept, you'll be a fool to them, actually. But for a devotee, even though a devotee may be attached to sense enjoyment to whatever degree, and he is struggling and fighting to come out of it, and he is fervently praying to the Supreme Lord, but still there is a massive difference between a devotee attached to sense enjoyment and a materialist attached to sense enjoyment. Because for a materialist, this is the way of life, but for a devotee, he is fighting to come out of it. You know, we see in Prahlad Maharaj's pastime, when Narsingadev is asking Prahlad to ask for a boon, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, after a lot of convincing Prahlad, because he didn't want to ask anything, Prahlad is saying, Yadi dasasi me kaman, if you really want to offer me a boon, varam svam varadarshava, O best of the giver of boons, kamanam hride asamroham bhavatastu vrinevaram. You, if you're so eager to offer me a boon, please offer me a boon that this desire to enjoy in this material world is eradicated from the deep core of my heart. So that's his prayer. That's how a devotee prays to the Supreme Lord, even though badly stuck in this mess of attractions and sense pleasures and all that. But there is a massive difference. There is a difference is that a devotee is fearful of this consciousness, of breeding this consciousness, of feeding this consciousness. And due to one's own conditioning, one may be stuck to whatever degree, but his constant prayer is to come out of it. And that can take a lifetime or a few lifetimes. But we see there is a great hope for a devotee to fight it out, because of understanding avidya and vidya simultaneously. That's where if in his Upanishad, Srila Prabhupada gives this whole explanation how for a person in knowledge of vidya and avidya, there is a way out. But if someone is just interested in avidya and stuck in avidya, or the ignorance, the knowledge of just enjoying the senses to whatever way, it's very hard. You know, in that same Isha Upanishad, Srila Prabhupada makes a very nice comment on that verse where avidya and vidya is explained. He says, human activities diseased by a tendency towards sense gratification have been regulated in Vedas under the principle of salvation. The only aim of life for just such people is sense gratification. And in order to achieve this end, they make all the plans for economic development. So, you know, Devamit Swami very amazingly explains. He says, there is dharma, artha, kama and moksha. There is religiosity, then there is sense enjoyment, then there is artha, you earn wealth, then there is sense enjoyment, and then there is moksha. So this was a Vedic culture, Vedic system, that you go through all these four and then attain salvation. But what's happening now in materialistic society is dharma is thrown out, or even if dharma is there, dharma is only used to make sense enjoyment better, whether in this life or next life. So mostly dharma is anyways thrown out. So when there is no dharma and the artha or economic development is done, economic development is purely done for sense enjoyment, because artha is thrown out. And because the adharma is thrown out, religiosity is thrown out, then the sense enjoyment is only aiming at artha, the earning of wealth is only aiming at sense enjoyment. And because of that, there is no way of salvation or liberation from this clutch, from this bondage. And this is exactly the same thing Prabhupada explains, that misguided men think that religion should be maintained because it contributes to economic development, which is required for sense gratification. Thus, in order to guarantee further sense gratification after death in heaven, there is some system of religious observance. But this is not the purpose of religion. The path of religion is actually meant for self-realization. And economic development is required just to maintain the body in a sound, healthy condition. A man should lead a healthy life with a sound mind just to realize Vidya, true knowledge, which is the aim of human life. This life is not meant for working like an ass or for the culturing or for culturing avidya for sense gratification. So very, very directly Prabhupada quotes this. You know, in Mahabharata, in Ramayana, this amazing pastime comes, this story comes, very nice learning from that. Is many ministers of Ravana opposed Ravana's action of kidnapping Sita, but Vibhishan was the most clear one to oppose him. But and he was thrown out of the kingdom. And Vibhishan was thrown out. But when Ravana saw that his son Meghnad is also killed and Ram's army is very powerful to defeat, Ravana made sure that he wakes up Kumbhakaran, his younger brother. And Kumbhakaran, who was given a boon by Brahma, it was not a boon, he wanted a boon to become immortal, but he was tricked by Mother Saraswati and he got the boon of sleeping. So he would sleep for 6 months, wake up, eat tons and tons of food, and then go back to sleep again for the next 6 months. But now Ravana was in a desperate situation. He wanted to wake Kumbhakaran up to save him. So it is described in Ramayana that now Kumbhakaran was just 10 days before Kumbhakaran slept. And there is still 5 months, 20 days to go for him to wake up and fight for Ravana. And the battle is on the doorstep. It's already on. So then Ravana sends thousands of soldiers, hundreds and hundreds of elephants to wake Kumbhakaran. And he was so huge that it describes that thousands of elephants were walking on his body, up and down, up and down, up and down. And hundreds and thousands of soldiers were beating drums and shouting and poking him with spears and all. So finally Kumbhakaran woke up with all the gongs and bells, whatever the arrangements they made. Then Kumbhakaran came to Ravana. And he was very upset with Ravana, his elder brother. Kumbhakaran was also asura, a demon. And he was very upset with Ravana and he started chastising him. He said, "Why did you kidnap Sita? He said, how stupid of you that you kidnapped Sita." And Ravana needs Kumbhakaran's help and Ravana is listening to him. He started chastising and correcting Ravana that this is a blunder you have done. Look at this, how many soldiers are already killed just for your one desire you want to satisfy. And Ravana was listening, and then Ravana was thinking, you know, can you just shut up and act? You know, we need your help. And then Kumbhakaran finally said that, anyways, I am there to die for you, but please understand, you have done a mistake. So when Kumbhakaran did that, Ravana's one of the ministers, Mahodara, he gave amazing comment. And this is very much connected to what our topic is. Then I'll stop there. He says that Ravana has actually acted properly in stealing Sita. That minister Mahodara said, Ravana's minister, who was a better demon than Kumbhakaran, he argued, he said, the duty of all the beings is to secure their happiness by any means. This is the duty of the living entity, to somehow or other secure their happiness. Even virtue is only a means to ensure one's happiness. Even virtue is meant for one's happiness. So what moral immoral you're talking about? So therefore, Ram's theft of Sita, meant as it is for his pleasure, was rightly done. And so Ravana is not at all at fault. So this is very demoniac. And when I was reading this, I was thinking, how many people give same argument? It's practically the whole world gives same argument now. For enjoying, for going practically crazy when it comes to sense enjoyment. So, it's hard for devotees to make a mark in a society like this. Only by blessings of Srila Prabhupada and Supreme Lord, something can happen. So, just exactly in the next verse, there is a nice solution in 7th chapter, verse 28. And which says, persons who have acted, in a yesam tu antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvanda moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridavrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated are freed from the dualities of delusion and they engage themselves in my service with determination. I'll repeat again. Persons who have acted piously in previous life and in this life and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated are freed from dualities of delusion and they engage themselves in my service with determination. I doubt we are in this category. At least when we were beginning, you know, our devotional life. Because in purport, Srila Prabhupada answers how it has happened for us. He says, the process of being situated on the spiritual platform is done when this elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness by association of a pure devotee of the Lord. For in the association of great devotees, one can be delivered from delusion. Here Prabhupada gives a hint, solution. Because if one wants to engage in Krishna's service with determination, one has to have all sinful activities removed from past life and this life, and one has to act piously. So our hope is Srila Prabhupada. Suresh Prabhu will be speaking on Srila Prabhupada's pastime in the next few days. So it will be very nice to hear from Prabhu. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments or corrections? Hare Krishna. Granthashami Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.